Have you found anything that you would even remotely call a weakness in San Diego? Any of the free base?
You know, they are, you know, they've been pretty strong in all areas. You know, you take a look at rushing offense and passing offense and turnover ratio, and, you know, defensively the same thing. And rushing defense, pass defense. I take a look at their special teams, and they've been very consistent. And one of the reasons why, you know, they're one of the top teams in the AFC. To answer your question, no.
Is playing them again so soon, advantage, disadvantage, complication for game planning?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you play someone within a few weeks, I think you're a little bit more familiar with them, you know, without playing five, six, seven teams in between. So I think there's a little bit better reference point, even though you play each other, you know, a couple times a year. So I think, you know, both teams, obviously it's an advantage to them.
How much does Sean Merriman change their approach or your approach when he plays?
Well, you know, you take a look at, you know, Merriman and Phillips, and with Merriman missing four games, and he still tied for the league, second in the NFL, with his teammate on the other side for sacks. Now, it's pretty impressive. And you got two guys that are tied for the lead in the AFC with sacks per play. You don't see that very often, especially when a guy misses four games. So very talented, plays extremely hard, and one of the reasons their defense has been so successful.
Has Merriman become such a special player that you have to give special attention to him? Do you have to game plan specifically for him?
Well, people that don't, obviously he's going to be hurt. You know, even if you double team, you're not guaranteed that he's not going to stay out of the backfield. But, yeah, you have to count for him in every play. He will be able to practice today, and then, you know, just kind of play things by ear. We'll see how he feels and see if there's any setbacks, and, you know, we'll approach it day by day.
Does that mean the tingling's gone?
Yeah, he couldn't practice today if the tingling was there. So the tingling's gone. Hopefully it stays gone and get a few days of reps and be ready to go.
How's Jack Mustard?
He'll be able to practice today.
Will he be used?
Well, I don't think that I would share that with San Diego right now. But if you get me on the side, I'll tell you for the newspaper article tomorrow. That was a joke. It was a joke. Okay.
Mike, is it the most impressive thing about Tomlin said that, I mean, everybody kind of knows it's tough, but still he has, I think, 18 touchdowns in the last 6 games or whatever. The fact that even though you know he's not, he still can't really stop.
Well, that's what good teams do. You know, they've got a balanced running attack, balanced passing attack. You know, LT, I believe, is averaging about 5.2 a carry. His backup is averaging 6.4. So, you know, they're having a little success. You know, both guys are doing very well. Two excellent running backs, and when one guy goes out, the other guy can make plays as well. So there's a reason why they're very successful, and they're doing a great job. Well, you know, there's a lot of different ways to approach it. You know, what you got to go out there and you got to, you know, you got to practice. You obviously address things like you normally do. You know, when I had dinner with Bill Cowher, he was, you know, basically telling me the same situation. Hey, we had a 3-game losing streak. People don't believe that we were 7-5 and had a 3-game losing streak. It's almost deja vu. You know, different things that happen like that. There's so many things that happen in the National Football League. I've been in it a long time as an assistant coach and a head coach. And, you know, you can't look back. You are what you are, and you can do something about the opponent you're going to face the following week. And if you start worrying about what's happened in the past, you're feeling sorry for yourself, and you got a bad season. If you look at it as an opportunity and how are you going to play in the month of December or the month of January, then you can do something about it. But I can tell you a number of teams that played pretty well in that 6-5, 7-5 area going into this month.
Does a healthy Tatum Bell help open up things downfield for the passing attack a little bit?
Well, it's good to have Tatum back. You know, obviously healthy people. The more people you have healthy, the better off you're going to be. And obviously it's good to have Tatum back, and he's feeling pretty good. So that's a plus.
How much do you sense that Jay is a little bit more at ease going into this week's game as opposed to his first start last week? A little more comfortable, maybe?
Well, I think it's, you know, just like you. And that's no, you're no different than he is in your job and his job. First day you're on the job, you're a little bit nervous and you're more relaxed every time you go to work. No different at the quarterback position. He just, you know, obviously has a few more eyes watching him, even though you've got a few eyes yourself. We won't go into that right now. I was going to get a little obnoxious, but I decided not to.
Something you can do to maybe make sure he's more loose and maybe not as tight, maybe he doesn't feel like he has to be perfect in this game?
No, he wasn't tight. I don't think he was tight. It's a process you go through. I thought he handled himself very well. Very well. It's tough. Gave him a bad play. He tried to make a play. I mean, not very many guys could have got away from that defensive end. That's pretty impressive. And, you know, the rest, you're going to deal with things as time goes on. Couple touchdowns your first game, that's not too bad. I've seen players play worse than that.
You're talking about dealing with that confidence. How do you keep his confidence up as a young quarterback when you go through this game?
You know, anytime you've been a four-year starter at a major college level, you know, you've been through some ups and downs, you understand what it takes to be a leader, get your team going, playing at a certain level. So, you know, he's been through this before. He's played with some good competition. He understands the pressure of the job, the nature of the job. And like all great ones, they understand that you got to find a way to win. And if you don't, you're going to be second-guessed. It's just the nature of the game. And, he's tough enough to handle it.
Like, is it wrong to assume that it's easier for a quarterback when he lines up in the shotgun to look at the defense coming at him?
Oh, yeah, the shotgun gives you a little extra time. I think he did that a lot at Vanderbilt. He's very comfortable with that. And I think a lot like John. John felt very comfortable with it. When I was at San Francisco and I tried it with Steve Young and Joe Montana, they would fumble the snaps on purpose just so you wouldn't be in it, because they felt very comfortable underneath the center with the 3 and 5 step drop. So everybody's a little different. It's kind of what you got used to. But, he'll do a great job in the shotgun through the years. But when you're in the shotgun, obviously it eliminates, you're telling people for the majority of the time you're going to throw the football. But there's nothing wrong with that in passing situations, and I think that'll be a strong part of his game as time goes on.
Michael Jason, you want to kick this week, or are you just going to let him rest?
Well, we're planning on him kicking.
During practice?
Oh, I don't care about practice. You know, this guy's been around forever, talking about the games. A lot of times Jason hasn't kicked during the week. You know, he's got a little tweak here, tweak there. He knows his body. He's a pro. But I'll be shocked if he's not ready for game day.
Do you have any plays designed with him at running back?
I tell you, what was really funny is when we worked on this thing, and he says, "Hey, coach, this is there. This is 100%. I said, "My only reservation is, you know, you pulling a hamstring or a groin or getting hurt." I kind of refer to the story of Jeff Gossett. You know, Jeff Gossett was a punter over for the Raiders, and I'm not sure how many years he's in the league, somewhere under 13, 14, and they had a fake punt, and that ended his career. So in the back of your mind, you're always scared to do something like that with a veteran player. But I thought it was a situation there that, he would take a dive if there was somebody there. And he did take a dive. But unfortunately, he tweaked a little hamstring as well, or groin. I'm not sure what it is.
How's Cecil Stapp?
You know, I called him yesterday, you know, after surgery, and didn't get a chance to talk to him. Talked to his recorder. But according to Greek, surgery went well, and it was 3 months healing time. So, you know, he's such a tough guy. You know, mentally, he just walked off that field like it was no big deal, and here his leg's broken.
Mike, you've coached against Marty a lot. You get used to coaching against a guy. You tend to know his tendencies. Is coaching against Marty these days different? Is he doing things differently?
Marty's always done a great job of knowing his personnel and finding ways to win. I think Marty, you know, I know Marty from the Cleveland days when Lindy and Fanning was his offensive coordinator, and I could go through the personnel groupings, but it doesn't really matter. But, you know, they were throwing the heck out of the football, and all of a sudden different spots were more run-oriented where he didn't want to turn the football over, but he finds a way to win. And what's separating him from the Hall of Fame is just winning that big game. And when he does, you know, he'll be in that Hall of Fame.
Does it feel like you're facing a different guy on the other sideline when you see him these days?
No, not really. Not really. I mean, he's a football coach. He's going to do what he thinks gives him the best chance to win. you know, people get stereotyped sometimes because they don't have that so-called quarterback or that running back. And, you know, you get a couple high draft picks and you get a guy like LT and Rivers, and obviously, you know, doing a lot of things the right way for that to happen, but playing well.
You played a lot of your regulars on the special teams. Is that a product of, hey, we just got to improve this year, so we're going to put the better players out there?
Well, we've had a few guys banged up. You know, there's no choice. Anytime you lose guys like Nick Ferguson and Sam Brandon, and, you know, you got, even though Courtney Brown doesn't sound like a big deal, or a guy like Cecil Sapp, and you got a few other guys banged up that can't practice and can't play because of injury, you don't have a choice. But these guys know it, and these guys step up. A guy like Champ Bailey is the first guy to say, hey, put me in there. And you get a lot of guys like that, Ian Gold as well, guys that want to help your football team win, and they understand what it takes. There's only 45 guys dressed on game day, and everybody's got a role. There's only so many players out there.
Do